This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Break the silence. Welcome back. Today we're talking about the stages of healing with Michelle Ihaka, and she's going to share some insights into the stages of healing and recovery and our logo. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Ma. Good morning. Yeah, stages of healing, and it can mean a lot of different things to different people, but I think, you know, we keep it to exactly what it is, stages of healing for that person, not stages of healing for me or for others. It's about what is the stages of healing for that person, the victim or survivor, and what best suits them. And that's exactly how I work. So, and it actually reflects our logo that I designed. And after many years working with it, I wanted to something that reflect our service and our clients. So the stages of healing, while I talk about our logo, they actually work together. So I just want to talk about that quickly, the meaning of our logo. The highlights on our logo symbolizes the layers of the client's development, while they also add versatility to the design. So we've got three different tones of green there as well, which represent that. So the color palette was found over a series of collaborative stages, using some existing colors as a starting platform. So the left side of our logo represents our clients, their growth and their supports, the building of the strengths and their flourishing for them outside of our service. So they, I guess, you know, they come in as a seed and then they're building their own growth up and their supports and then ultimately to exit our service. Whereas we're on the right side, wadded up a rape and sexual abuse, which we give that supporting element, hence why we are smaller, we are thinner, but we are also quite bold there, and for the fact that it's very important of our early stages within somebody's healing journey is that we are there and we are an important role, but we are not as important as their own growth and their own strengths that we help flourish. We're just giving a piece of their journey, you know. For people healing, we are part of their journey, their will, and you know, I guess I've heard the term, someone say to me, I need you to fix this person. I don't fix anybody. Nobody fixes anybody, but I can help guide and encourage and grow their strength to help them flourish for them on their healing journey. And that's all I am. That's all our service are. We are a part of their healing journey, especially for people coming in. Once again, you know, people say, oh, it's a, yes, we are a crisis service. And some people who don't understand crisis are, oh, but they look fine and they seem fine. For them, at their time that they reach out to our service, they are in a form of crisis. This has all come back to them for whatever reason, and now is their time of crisis. You know, and that is recognizing that is what I work with and how I work with. So I guess the insight into the stages of healing and recovery is oneself. It takes a lot for a person to even pick up that phone, to make the call, to they know something that they have held so deep and dark within themselves for usually many, many years, and usually without telling anybody, knowing very well what they are contacting for, which is so scary. So, so scary. You know, our organisation is called Wadded Up a Rape and Sexual Abuse. Those words are dreadful for some people who are starting their healing process, but also it can be absolutely beautiful. And usually majority of the time, well, every time I believe somebody exits our service, man, those words mean a different thing for them of strength, which is beautiful, which is why I love my job and my role. I am part of that healing journey and that process. You know, it is oneself when they decide it is now their healing time. People have got to be in that process within themselves to want to heal and be ready to heal. Sorry, not the word want, but ready. I have a lot of people when things are disclosed and they say, you have to go and get counselling, you have to go and get the support. Well, they don't have to do anything, because if they are forced to do that or they do it on the other's judgment, it's not going to work out well. Yes, it's great when there is that support there, but sometimes people only, they put their mamai, that hurt, onto themselves. They are hurt that this has happened to their loved one. They want them to go get help and support to make them feel better. They mean well, but it's about a healing process. One has to be ready for this healing process. And that is the most important thing about that process. And there is a fine line. It's about when, if somebody has opened that door and that kōrero of the disclosure about the information that is given to them, a response is a response. Yeah, how we respond is a response. So, and important on that healing process, it's about, people breaking the silence. Understanding it is what someone felt. That healing process and that journey for someone is to be heard, is to be acknowledged, for them to trust what they're saying, and it's okay for them to feel all of these feelings and behaviours of anger, sorrow, guilt, happiness, all these feelings and emotions, and about how we talk through all of those things, how they're all so, so important in one's healing process. There are many stages of healing, many stages. We have the crisis stage, which is hard and raw, hard and fast for some, and some who take a step forward and take 10 steps back. And that's fine. That is ka pai. It's about when they come forward again, then they take 2 more steps back. They may take only then 2 steps back. Some people take many steps forward and no steps back. And it is fine. There is no way of healing. It is about what suits for that person in their healing journey. And it's a whole lot of factors that take place with that. I could not give a book and say to somebody, here you go, this is how you will heal. It is not as simple as that. But also because every person is unique. Every person's story is unique. And that is how I work and how we work as well, is recognising that. To have that process of grieving and mourning, depending on somebody's circumstances and their situation, also has an impact on how one may heal as well. So I guess the layers of that is helping somebody through that and letting them see what is best for them on their healing journey and sparking that for them as well. Marlene? Questions around this process?
Yeah, thank you very much for that logo reminder. Very soothing to know exactly why you designed that. And I need to be reminded of the logo and what it actually means. Further to the resourcing, our website does have a number of videos in which survivors and New Zealand, I may add, survivors have talked about their own recovery and healing that we've been fortunate to obtain. And some of those faces, I can see this Māori woman who I know of has talked about her experience of healing, the abuse that happened in her healing. But certainly on our website there are a number of resources and people can listen to other people's stories about their journey of healing as a guide. Mm. You're right, Michelle, every person's unique. Every person has their own healing journey, and if you don't get there the first time, then we work towards it.
That's right, Ma. And, there's all these stages of healing and, all although most of these stages are necessary for every survivor around about, you know, the right to believing it happened and trusting yourself and making contact with your child within, understanding it wasn't your fault and breaking the silence and the decision to heal, is that the emergency stage and remembering the abuse, confronting your family and forgiveness are not applicable to everybody. Sometimes, you know, we can't or don't have supports within our whānau setting. And when I say the word whānau, I mean wider whānau, friends, anybody who's connected to you. And some people believe, once again, a myth that, oh, well, they're the ones to help you. It's not always the case. Sometimes we can have the most loving, supportive people, but for whatever reason, they can't open to them. And that is okay. And we've got to respect that. We've got to respect what is right for the person who is holding that pain. And that's okay. You know, some people in the stage of healing is anger, you know, anger, but it can be powerful and liberating as well. It's about how we deal with that anger. What do we do with it? Do we internalize it or do we don't? And it's about having understanding of these feelings and emotions that one goes through before the healing, and having self-care. You know, you are stronger than you feel, smarter than you know, and more resilient than you realized.
What was that again? Stronger than you.
You are stronger than you feel, smarter than you know, and more resilient than you realise.
If you can't take that away with you today, that would be awesome. If you can take it with you away today, that is an awesome proverb to remember when going through something like this.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, rape and sexual abuse doesn't define who a person is. And that's what we've got to remember. You know, the healing process it's a big process. It's a massive process. I say to people, you will learn to live with it, which might sound quite horrible, but it can be positive. You will learn to live with it. And then I remind people, you have been living with it. Be proud of yourself. It's been hard and ugly and all these things, but it's about coming to terms with that and a very slow healing process. And there are a lot of people, you know, who are important in one's healing process and themselves as well. You know, inhale the future and exhale the past is another saying, eh? You know, and it's about taking slow steps, very slow steps as well. It's about if we, you know, we have a mamai or a sore on our leg, if we keep smothering it with caring for it, making sure we're looking after it all the time because we want it better, we're going to give it so much love and attention, as it can make it worse. We've got to let it breathe. We've got to give it the time it needs to heal. Because also if we neglect it, we know what happens. It gets worse, it gets festered, it goes on, it builds, and it explodes if we talk about trauma and effects and things like that. But if we give it the necessary means of healing and time, it will start making sense. And yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is time and trusting yourself and having the grieving period and understanding and removing guilts and shames. Yeah.
So as part of that healing and recovery is also included in the referral to ACC, or is that a separate issue? So would an ACC counsellor help too with that recovery stuff as well?
So ideally, yes. So ACC, we refer out to ACC. It is not for everybody. ACC is sensitive claims is free for people who have had rape and sexual abuse in their life, and when they have been approved of that, they can get, I believe they're doing hours now, up to 20 hours a year. It might be more, worth of free sessions of counselling. With the counselling, they focus on that abuse at hand and those impacts. Like I said, it is not for everybody, but also it is for people. And the important thing is people need to be ready for it. People need to be ready and understand when it may be important for their life. As I said, I've worked with people who have had it for many years, and I've had people who have had it and it just hasn't suited them at this time in their life, or people who just don't use it. And that's fine. It's about choice. It is about choice.
Great. That's good, Michelle. Thank you so much for that information. And I hope it's helpful for our survivors and listeners out there. Kia ora.
Kia ora.